AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, throwing it down as we pick up the pieces up following game one of the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis drops 34 points on the Miami Heat, and the Miami Heat drop on the floor repeatedly here this evening. 116-98 final score. Game stays under the number by 4 points, and the Lakers obviously cover the 4.5. They're now laying 8 in game two. We'll break it down throughout the week. We got a ton of Major League Baseball to hit. We had 8 games on the board. It's been a marathon of baseball throughout the day, and the more things change, the more they stay the same. The Minnesota Twins, chokers, well, they choke. They've lost 18 consecutive playoff games. 18 consecutive playoff games. Like, it's hard to do anything 18 times in a row. Like, honestly, like, seriously. Like, it's literally hard. Like, try flipping a coin and catching it 18 times in a row. Try, like, tying your shoes 18 times in a row without your laces coming undone. You know, try doing anything 18 times in a row. You know, at some point, like, I don't know, you got it right accidentally, right? No, not the Minnesota Twins. Not the Minnesota Twins. It's amazing how some of these franchises just repeat the misery over and over. Atlanta is one of those cities, and miraculously enough, Atlanta actually survived a marathon baseball game, nearly 5 hours. All right, we had a lot of historic stuff today. First time ever there's been 8 playoff games, except I refuse to. They're not really playoff games. 8 TV games, all right? 8 made-for-degenerate gambler TV games. And I got to tell you, I'm getting murdered. Major League Baseball, I did great this year betting Major League Baseball. Yet now that the playoffs are here, suddenly I'm falling apart, man, like a Minnesota Twin. I'm falling down on my ass like a Cleveland Indian center fielder. It ain't pretty. It's uglier than a Miami Heat performance in game one. I'm coming, Elizabeth. This is the big one. Look, the ambulances are on the way. 911. Hello, sir. What's your issue? My issue is my picks suck and I keep losing. Has anyone ever called 911 to say that their picks suck? I need help. My picks suck. I've lost like $1,000 in the last 8 hours. Can you help me? Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night continues. I'm Morenci. The Sports Palooza continues. Like March Madness, Super Bowl, and I don't know what else. I'm losing it. March Madness, the Super Bowl, and the World Series all rolled in one. It's because it is. But yeah, it's crazy. All the worlds are colliding right now. All these leagues, and we got baseball, we got basketball. Of course, hockey has come to an end. So Babano is left without one of his favorite sports right now. But we've got NFL football, Babano. So we got the Thursday nighter. Kind of a train wreck, as you talked about. Not kind of a train wreck, and I don't know, man. Maybe you're gonna wish you can watch A-Rod on TV instead of this football game tomorrow night. But it's a game to bet on. It's a game to bet on. And listen, I think Denver's the play here. But what are you looking at this week in the National Football League?
Been lots of overs. Obviously, the overs have cashed at a high clip so far. I posted something very interesting on Twitter earlier this week. Our good friend Paul Bovey, thanks to him, he retweeted it. Nice of him to do that. But week one average totals for each of the first 4 weeks, I went back and looked and crunched and actually calculated all this. The week one average totals in the NFL were 44.8. Went up to 46.7 in week two, it was 48.1 in week three, and the average total for the games in week four this upcoming week is 50.1. So we have seen these totals just gradually, based on the average for each week, increase incrementally throughout the first 4 weeks. Now there's been 50.9, 51 points per game this season on average in NFL games. So the value is starting to slip away for overs because the week one average total was 44.6. So you had like 6 points below the average number of points scored per game so far this season. Now the average total for the week four games is 50.1. You've got less than 1 point of value if you compare that to the average number of points being scored in games. So you're starting to see the totals increase. Is that enough of a tipping point, though, now that the totals are in the 50.1 is the average total for week four? Is that enough to create a tipping point to see for the first time more unders than overs this week coming up? That remains to be seen. That being said, Gabe, I'm still on some overs here. There's a bunch I bet, so I'm just going to rhyme them off. I think these are all good matchups too, Morenci, for high scoring games. I think we're going to see points this weekend in Seattle, Miami. I think Seattle is an absolute over team. I know it's a high total, but their defense is banged up. Miami is not going to stop Russ Wilson, in my opinion, in that offense. So I think you're going to see a lot of points there in that football game. I think the same goes for Jacksonville-Cincinnati. I know Burrow and the Bengals struggled a bit last week, but I think they're going to find it easier against that horrible Jaguar defense, which has been chewed up. And I think Gardner Minshew and the Jags will move the ball better. I could see Arizona-Carolina being a shootout. I bet the over there. Same with New Orleans-Detroit. And there's one more. Oh, yeah, Buffalo. Your Buffalo Bills, Gabe, with the Las Vegas Raiders with that total. It's already gone up a bit, but I think we see points here. I'm going to dare the Bills to put four good quarters of defense together. And Carr and the Raiders lit up the Saints in their only home game, and I think they'll put up points. And I think, obviously, Allen and the Bills, with what they're doing, they'll move the ball as well against Vegas. So those are the overs I like.
Which is pretty much every game, Babano. So, and listen, I do it all the time. I do it all the time, but you just told us about how the numbers have caught up. And, you know, because I tell you, we had Lou on Gamblu earlier tonight, and I kind of figured, people are going to start to do this, in which Lou's, almost, ready to start blindly betting unders. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, it can't keep up. You know, because I don't know what was it in week one, the over-unders? I don't remember. I know in week two, it was 11-5 to the over. This week it was 9-6-1 or 9-9, depending on what your number was in the Monday nighter.
With the 54 and 54.5.
9-6 and 1. Yeah, it was exactly that, Gabe. You got it right. 9-6 and 1.
Well, a lot of people had 54.5 Babano out there. I had a 54.
Yes.
But a lot of people had 54.5. Some guy bet
based on the closing total, it went under. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, yeah. So what was it in week one? Do you have it in front of you?
And it was 20 and 12. I don't have the week one numbers actually right in front. Of me. I know it was 20 and 12 after week two. It was 20 and 12 to the over after week two. But what it was specifically for week one, I don't have that in front of me right now.
So if it was 11 and 5 in week two, then it would have been 9-9 and 6 in week one.
Yep.
9-9 and 6 and 1. I think there was a push in there. But listen, the overs, it's all relative. I mean, until they start getting up to like the 58.5s and stuff like that, those are the numbers that'll scare people away. And they tried last week with the 55.5s. And, you know, some of the games still got there anyways. One of these weekends, the bubble's going to burst and there's going to be like 12 unders or something like that, though, right? I don't know. Is this the week? I don't know.
That's the question.
A little bit
this could be the week where it's eight overs, eight unders, or less.
You're coming in pretty heavy on overs here this week.
You know what? And it's not. First of all, you shouldn't be blindly betting overs. I like these two because I think the matchups fit. You've got some banged up, bad defenses in a lot of those games and a lot of those teams I just mentioned. Actually, there's
Cincinnati,
one I missed.
You mentioned, like Jacksonville, Cincinnati. They're both bad. You know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying, and, you know, their offenses have put up points in some games, but when they've been forced to kind of, and often, and listen, I'm not telling you, oh, your pick sucks, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Oftentimes, if you get like a game like Jacksonville and Cincinnati, both coaches, Babano, think they can win. And it's a rare time they think they can win. You know what I mean? They're like, man, this is a winnable game for us. Like, this is, you know, we're not playing the Ravens here. Like, we're playing a team that we could beat. Let's not be stupid.
Yep.
Let, you know, and then suddenly both teams start running the football because they both start thinking, well, we can win this game, right? Like, this isn't, we're not overmatched here. So then it doesn't turn into a track meet. Like, that one scares me. Like, what were some of, so you mentioned the Bills and the Raiders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bills, Raiders.
The Bills are turning
Seattle,
into
Seattle, Miami.
Team. But does the Bills defense show up against the Raiders for once? Like, you know, the Bills defense really hasn't had that really good performance yet this year. The offense has been carrying them. That Bills offense is lethal, though. I don't know, though. Like I said, like, I knew the Rams game was going to be high scoring, Babano, and the Bills. This total is pretty high, bro. 52.5 for a Bills game, man. Like you said, these numbers are crazy.
It is. I keep thinking back, it was 34-24, though, with them and the Saints on the Monday nighter. It got to 58. Again, not saying this, and if this gets there, it can get up and over the total. The other one I was interested in, again, it's a high number, but Cleveland-Dallas, you know, even at 56. I like the side, though. Yeah, and I like the side, actually, even better than the total, taking the points
right
with Cleveland.
No one tackles. The defense sucks, all right, across the league. No one's tackling in a league. The offenses are clicking. The lack of fans is having a major impact too. It just is. Like, think about it. Like, normally it's only silent with one offense, Babano, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like to look at it, Babano, and I could actually. I'll look right now and take a minute to pop it up and figure it out. But, like, I bet you, I'm willing to bet money, Babano, the discrepancy between points on the road and points on the home are totally different this year than past years. You know what I mean? Like, I bet you there's a bunch of teams that, like, last year, oh, they scored 24 points a game at home, but on the road, they only scored 16. And I bet you this year, it's like the scoring is probably, like, almost the same. Like, but Ben, every quarterback after is sort of like, you know, they don't want to all admit it. Like, they're admitting it. Like, Aaron Rodgers said after, he said, yeah, that was a hell of a lot easier playing at the Superdome without fans.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
A lot
it's
easier.
A stroll in the park.
Yeah,
just stroll in the park.
Oh,
you can make calls at the line. You can change the play. You can change the play. You can communicate with your offensive linemen. Yep.
So it adds up. And another thing is, too, they're not calling holding for some reason. I don't know what it is. Like, holding penalties are way down. I don't know what the reasoning is. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get points for TV ratings, but they're not calling holding. All right, hang in here, Rabanne. We'll get some more picks on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night. Vent your rage. Major League Baseball playoffs continue. Well, they won't be continuing for the Cleveland Indians. New York Yankees, mini two-game sweep. Mini two-game sweep. Wild baseball game that went back and forth. Cleveland only had themselves to blame. They blew numerous leads, and they literally fell. Like, the center fielder fell, like, at a horrible time. It's, you can't make this stuff up, but you can. You don't have to make it up because it's Cleveland. That's just, you know, Cleveland had the legacy and the history that they have for a reason. All right, Ian Cameron kicking it with us in the late night hours. We appreciate his time. Betting with Babano. Babano, what's the YouTube channel called? I know you're doing a weekly video, Betting with Babano, and you got a million articles out there at various different sites, but where can people find Betting with Babano?
To it. It's Ian Cameron's Football Frenzy. It's on the Pub Sports Radio YouTube channel, 1 p.m. Eastern Time Thursdays, just breaking down every NFL game, a little college football as well.
The Ian Cameron Football Frenzy?
The Ian Cameron's Football Frenzy, exactly. I didn't want to use Babano for a change. Like, people got to realize I got a real name, Ian Cameron. That's it. Thursdays, 1 p.m., so you can check that out at the Pub Sports Radio YouTube channel.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, no, I like the call, actually. You're right. You got to build your name. Good call. I like that, the Football Frenzy.
Yeah, Babano's not on the birth certificate, even though some people might think it is.
Good call. So New York Yankees advanced. Los Angeles Dodgers get it done. Late scare. Jansen gets the Dodgers out of it. Dodgers win 4-2 game one. And I tell you, man, these two-game series are deadly. So it's a good thing that the Dodgers took game one. And they get it done on the run line. So we end the night with a couple of wins, Babano. I had the Toronto Blue Jays earlier in the day. It was a stupid pick. I knew it was a stupid pick. And I even think the Rays are going to the World Series. So I'm like, I don't know why the hell I'm doing this. Because I took the Jays. I'm like, wow, I guess I'll take them again. And I knew right away, like right away in the game. I'm like, yeah, I'm on the wrong side. This is a stupid idea. And I gave up. I never do this. I never just tap out Babano. But when it was 1-0, I knew they were in trouble. And I did it right before they scored and made it 3-0. So I got a decent number. And long story short, I abandoned ship. And I was like, all right, this is a disaster. So I was like, I know I'm taking the Dodgers later tonight. So I'll just take the Rays and the Dodgers and put it in a parlay. So I ended up getting the Dodgers at minus 170. And, you know, I put more on it. So it's nice to close that parlay out. And then I took the Dodgers on the run line as well, minus 112. On the run line, Dodgers get it done, 4-2 final score Big win for the Dodgers, and now the Yankees move on. And I tell you what, Yankees, Rays, you know, those teams, they don't like each other, division rivals. And you know, I tell you what, the Rays have owned the Yankees too, Babano. Like, it's the Rays are like, yep, the one team
that's
that can
a tough
say,
series for the Yankees.
We've kicked the crap, yep, out of the Yankees. Like, they really, like, they own them. Like, they, like, it was almost like no mas type thing. Like, they beat the Yankees like 7 or 8 straight times. It's like the first time in like 12 years or whatever. Like, they swept the Yankees at Yankee Stadium in a 4-game series. It was ugly. Like, the Rays dominated them this year, Babano.
Yeah, and Kevin Cash, of course, was just giving the Yankees all kinds of hell for what happened earlier this season, the incident between them in one of the games in Yankee Stadium. So, yeah, there's not a lot of love lost between them. And it's funny because the Rays, to me, they can win this series. They're obviously, you got to give the Yankees the edge with the lineup, but you got to like what you're seeing from Snell and Glasnow, the top two pitchers in this series. Kevin Cash has a bullpen that can go toe-to-toe with the Yankees' bullpen. They've got a depth of, they've got like 8 or 9 arms in that bullpen that can all throw hard, all throw strikes, all get guys out. And you look at the Yankees, yeah, they got Britton. Yeah, they have Chapman. But there's some people, you know, that set those two guys up for them in that bullpen that are struggling with their confidence right now. Chad Green had a tough time tonight. Adam Ottavino, who's been a big part of that bullpen the last couple of years, hasn't pitched well for a long period of time. There's a couple of holes starting to leak, starting to spring in that Yankee bullpen. This is a tough series for them. Personally, I'm leaning Rays right now. I think this is a difficult matchup for them. The Rays aren't scared of the Yankees. They haven't been all season long. I think they got a real shot, and I'm leaning Tampa.
You know, it's interesting, Babano. It's a real interesting dynamic. Now it gets real to me. Now we got good teams playing each other. So we can tell you the series starts on Monday. The series starts on Monday. I'm surprised that it's that long, actually. So what? Well, no, it's not. I guess, no, look, we're in the late night hours of Wednesday night, right? So, you know, let's call it Thursday morning for them. Yeah, give them a chance to get out to the West Coast. No, I get it. I get it. So they're starting Monday, and they're playing at Petco Park in San Diego. Just like, and I know, like, you know, hardcores know this, Babano, but I guarantee not everyone does. You know what I mean? Just throwing it out there right now, the bizarro world is of this. So, yes, the New York Yankees are playing the Tampa Bay Rays in San Diego, just to clarify for everyone, Babano. And
because the American League is in San Diego and L.A., and then the National League division in LCS is in the Houston and Arlington.
Yeah. So, yeah, the San Diego is going to have the championship series. L.A., the Dodgers, Chavez Ravine will just have, like, the net one round now, and then a championship series is in San Diego again. And then, and as you stated, the World Series is in Texas. And they've announced that they're going to have fans in Texas at the championship series and at the World Series. Yet no fans at the National, yep, League series. That's just stupid. You know what I mean? Like, these leagues need to be uniform.
You got to have it one or the other. Yeah. You either have fans at neither of them or both. Yeah.
Be a softball league? So what? Like, one game you're going to have fans and the next game, like, they're it? Come on, man. Like really, it's just stupid. But it just shows they don't care. Like, any money
they've been planning this season from the seat of their pants from day one, Gabe, it really doesn't shock me.
I know. It's just any money they can get. It's like, well, you know, if we can sell 7,000 tickets, it's World Series. We'll charge like $800 a ticket. You know what I mean? They'll charge like a sick amount of money for the ticket. You know, no alcohol at these games, Babano. I don't know about you. I know you like to go to football games. You want to go to a football game sober? Tirico brought it up the other night.
Not particularly.
He brought it up. He said, yeah, there's some fans here, but there's just no alcohol being sold. He made a point of saying it. He said concessions are closed. They don't want people waiting in line and stuff. It's basically go to your section and don't move. You know what I mean? And people are all like, oh, it's not a big deal. You know, but I don't, there's a little thing. The NFL don't want you really knowing this, right? But remember, so the Kansas City Chiefs played their home opener and they had fans? You know, like, a ton of people got coronavirus, right? The fans. I think there might have been 24 of them.
I couldn't have seen that coming.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Exactly. But basically, like, if you went to the game, you've been advised to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that's the deal. Like, I want to go to the NFL game. Yeah, all right, go to the NFL game. Even if you don't get it, yeah, it's going to be on the news. Yeah, a bunch of people at the stadium had coronavirus, so if you were there, you can't go out. I'm just stating, like, you know, it's not as, like, foolproof. I don't think it's a good idea to have fans, personally. I don't have a problem
with
it.
Yeah, you might be locked up for 2 weeks if you go to that game. I hear what you're saying, yeah.
And I don't understand either, man. Like, in these NFL stadiums, they close the upper deck of the stadium, bro. It's the stupidest thing ever. Like, why don't you put people, like, really separate? You know what I mean? Like, have, like, literally. Like, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, like an empty stadium. Have, like, you know, literally a couple of people in the rafters, like, spread out and in the upper decks. And, like, you could really spread people around a stadium. These stadiums are like, yeah, we're only going to have 18,000 people. And you put them all down in a lower bowl. It's ridiculous. And you know what they did? They covered up the first eight rows, Babano. You know why they did that?
Yeah.
So people can't breathe on the players. So, like, they literally did that in the NFL so people can't breathe on the players. So, they like, the NFL's admitting, yeah, you guys are all going to get coronavirus in the stands, but we don't care. We're far enough away from you, so... Yeah, it's not our problem. Like,
you're not ruining our money that we're going to make from having a season. You're not going to ruin our television revenue. You're not going to ruin our ratings that we get for all these games on television. So that's what their focus is. Yep.
They're just like, they're already getting billions from the networks. You know what I mean? Like, guys, you're already making, like, do you really need to sell, like, 20? Like, if you're Jerry Jones, you really need to sell 20,000 tickets, Babano? Like, honestly, like, when you consider the money that it costs for security and internal lights, like, and everything, like, do you really need to do this? Or, like, are you doing it for the love of, like, oh, because you want your fans in there? No. He's thinking, well, 20,000 people times this, that's an extra 2.9 million, or, you know what I mean? It's an extra 1.4. Like, rich people don't get to be uber rich, Babano, by not caring about money. That's why
by being
rich.
Complacent and sitting on their laurels, like, and saying, oh, I've got enough right now. No,
yeah,
you go for more.
I'd be like, oh, I don't care. I don't care about selling 18,000 tickets. What do I care? I've got $8 billion. Well, I don't need to sell
it. It's like the drug companies. It's like the drug companies. Yeah. That's why people can't afford medication and proper treatment for COVID. Yeah, it's price fixing. You know, they're not charging reasonable prices for, you know, medication and things that people need for their own health. They never have, and that's not going to change anytime soon. It's about greed and making as much money as they can.
Kind of separate from what I was talking about, but your point is valid. Your point is valid. All right, time just flew by. We didn't even get to a damn pick here. You talked about over, so any sides, college? All right, listen, we'll get you out on the other side. We'll just keep you for a minute. Think about, like, one college pick, Babano, and then we'll get you out of here on the other side.
Like I said, for a side game, Cleveland Browns plus the points against Dallas. I think they win outright. Can't lay points with them or a bad defense.
I like that pick. I don't mind the pick. All right, so think, Babano. One college pick on the other side. We'll get you out of here. Sports Rage, late night. The Lakers win. Lakers cover. Game stays under the number. They're laying 8 points in game two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Late Night Anger Management class continues. Vent your rage. A lot of rage being vented by baseball bettors, myself included. But at least we ended on a high note with a 4-2 win with the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right, we promised to get Ian Cameron out of here. I like it. Ian Cameron's football frenzy on Sports Pub. Sports Pub's YouTube page. Good stuff. So, Babano. Before we get you out of here, college football, it was craziness last week. It was probably the craziest day in the history of college football, to be honest. I don't know, like, how many did all those ranked teams lose in those big-time teams. I did pretty well. I came in swinging with the underdogs.
All Mike Leach did is walk into Baton Rouge in his first game and win at Mississippi State, converting a team that was a power offense to an air raid system with recruits that weren't recruited for that kind of system. And all he does is go into LSU and win outright as a 17-point dog. Just part of the craziness.
Yeah, yeah, I was on it. I didn't have it on the money line. I didn't think they were going to win, but I took them on the points. I took all the underdogs and I was right. People laughed at me all week. I told them, I'm taking Missouri plus the points against Alabama. Oh, okay, I don't know about that. I said, I'm taking Arkansas plus the points against Georgia. I don't know about that. Taking Mississippi, I don't know.
I had Bama first half. Good thing I chose that one.
Yeah, Mike Leach's Mike Leach's system and all that. So anyways, we got to get out of here. I got to get you. You got to get out of here too, I know. So what about this week? We know what happened last week. What about this week?
Yeah, this week there's a couple I like. I like Baylor. I'm surprised they're just laying 2.5, 3 at West Virginia. I know West Virginia beat Oklahoma State outright, but Oklahoma State was a mess offensively. Backup quarterback, because Spencer Sanders was injured. The offensive line was in shambles with multiple injuries. I think that was as much a catalyst for West Virginia winning that football game as anything. I know they're at home here against Baylor, but I know Baylor faced Kansas and they look awful so far this season, but Charlie Brewer's back. The offense could still be explosive, put up points. And I was impressed with their defense. And Dave Aranda taking over as head coach after a great year at DC as LSU last year for that title team. I think that number's cheap. I just think Baylor's better than West Virginia, and they're going to prove it on Saturday. So I'll lay the short road chalk with
them. Yeah, you know what? You know what? Interesting. That's an interesting football game. I was on Baylor last week. Against Kansas, and I did well. I won the parlay. I had Baylor in a money line parlay to close it out. I was sweating it out early a little bit. Interesting pick there, Babano. I'd say, you know, a little ballsy, actually. Bold pick. Babano, bold picks with Babano there. I was going to bring up the Pittsburgh Panthers. Interesting team this year, man, that they keep winning, actually.
Yeah, Pitt Panthers are – look, Kenny Pickett's not a great quarterback, but he's serviceable. He's okay. He's solid. You know, he's going to be solid, dink and dunk, short to intermediate passing, rely on the run game, rely on a good defense. That's the strength of the Pitt team this year. They've got a really, really good defense. I was impressed with the way they played against Louisville. Louisville has got, you know, a good quarterback, great running back, great wide receiver trio.
Really slowed them down.
And Pitt bottled them up, forced Mikhail Cunningham into mistakes. So – it was a good performance from them. There's a lot to like with Pitt, for sure. The question is, are they ready to lay double digits? That's not
a
the kind
of
lay two touchdowns. That's a lot of points. You know, I wasn't necessarily impressed with NC State at any point so far this season. They haven't looked great. I'd still probably only back Pitt, but Narduzzi's not the kind of coach, or they're not the kind of team I often love laying two touchdowns with.
Pretty crazy, man. We got Auburn and Georgia playing this week. Game that caught my eye was the SMU Mustangs actually getting 2.5 against Memphis. Memphis, 2.5-point favorites against SMU. Total 73.5 in that game. This SMU team, I think, is a good team this year, Babano. It's going to be a fun football game.
I'm with you.
I think it's a winnable game for the Mustangs, too.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would look SMU there. I think the wrong team might be favored. I know Memphis still has Brady White, a very good quarterback, but, you know, the running back that was expected, Kenneth Gainwell, was supposed to play. He's not. You know, they haven't played since September the 5th, Gabe. That's the biggest thing and reason I see to bet against Memphis here. They haven't played since September 5th when they hosted Arkansas State due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Seven of their players tested positive. So what's the long layoff mean? You haven't been in a game situation. You've had your practice schedule and your routine altered for the last 3 weeks. That's a concern, I think, with all this time, dead time, almost a full month from that last game and very little practice time on the field. Now you got to get ready for Shane Buechele and this SMU offense that looks loaded for bear. You know, I think it's going to be trouble for Memphis. I think SMU can win that game, and they're certainly going to be chomping at the bit to beat Memphis. You remember last year, Memphis SMU was a big, rare, nationally televised Saturday night ABC game for them last year. And Memphis kind of took it to SMU, especially in the second half of that game. I think SMU gets payback.
All right, so finally in closing, baseball in the morning, you pulling the trigger on anything? Have you decided yet? If you haven't, it's cool. We won't call you out for it, but have you decided on your morning bets yet, your approach?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning Cincinnati. I think Castillo's a little more trustworthy than Anderson, but I'm worried. I mean, you lose that kind of a game, Cincinnati, today. Like, you had a million chances with runners in scoring position. You out-hit Atlanta 11-6, and somehow you lose that baseball game. It was just a terrible, horrendous job. Small ball's dead. You know, nobody's moving runners over anymore. Sacrificing, doing the right thing. It's all his swing for the fences, even in situations where we shouldn't. And Cincinnati paid the price for it. Nevertheless, I do like Castillo a little bit more than Anderson. Both bullpens are really worn down after the game today. So maybe Cincinnati first five innings just to be a little safer. In the other game, Miami Cubs, we don't have pitchers yet for the White Sox game with the Athletics just yet. There's no way I'm laying a price with the Cubs. I mean, I was on Miami today. I did have the Jays as well, though. Lost that one. But did cash with Miami as a big dog.
You Darvish.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chicago's feeling the pressure, Morenci. This is a big game, and I don't like that they haven't responded well to pressure the last couple of seasons. This Miami team's an upstart team. Mattingly's got them believing right now. I like their offense. You're seeing Cooper, Anderson, Aguilar. You know, all of these guys are hitting right now for the Marlins. Alcantara was solid, and this Sixto Sanchez kid on the mound for them tomorrow, he's solid. I'm not saying he's great, but he's got some upside. He's pitched more well than not so far. All the pressure on the Cubs, I'm leaning at taking another shot with Miami. There's no way I'm laying it with Chicago, though. No way.
I was on the Cubs today. It was a disappointing loss. Up 1-0 late. You know, it appeared. And, you know, I'll give credit to Miami for getting it done. You know, listen, Yu Darvish has been pretty much one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball this year, Babano. Right? Like, that's that. You know, that's the thing. He did lose twice in September. He didn't lose it. You look back here in August, he didn't lose once. It's pretty crazy. He didn't lose once in August. And, you know, he won five straight starts, and then he won another six, and then he lost. So he's had a couple of stumbles in a month of September, but he's been next to dominant, Babano. Like, if you look at his box scores here, you know, seven innings in his last start, three hits, zero earned runs allowed. He had one bad game against the Twins where he gave up four runs. He gave up three runs in seven innings against Cleveland. Against Cincinnati, he gave up three runs in six, one run against St. Louis, scoreless. You go down the list. I mean, the guy's got a 2.01 earned run average. He's 8-3 on the year. Yu Darvish's whip is 0.96. They're in tough. And I'll tell you one thing. If the winds are blowing again like this today, it's going to be an under because Yu Darvish is next to impossible to hit. And the kid Sixto is a stud as well. I get it. I don't think there'll be a ton of runs, but I'm not calling it out for it. The Marlins, and I've been ice cold, Babano, but I'm going my gut. My gut tells me that the Cubs are going to win. They're going to extend this series. I'm not saying they're going to win the series, but I don't think Yu Darvish is losing this game.
He's had a great year. There's no question. Now, if you're betting the Cubs tomorrow, you're going to hope the great year trumps some spotty playoff starts that he's had in years past, because he's not always been Mr. Reliable in the postseason, but he's got a chance to fix that and correct that and make amends tomorrow.
Ian Cameron. I was going to say betting with Babano, which is pretty cool, but I like it. Ian Cameron's Football Frenzy. You might have to change your Twitter handle as well, Babano, to really go complete. Really, like the total makeover. Thanks for your time. We do appreciate it. Best of luck with your picks. We encourage people to follow him on Twitter and check out all of his work. He's got a ton of articles, links, and appearances and all that. Thanks, Babano.
All right, Gabe. Always good chatting with you on Wednesday night. Have a good one.
Ian Cameron with us. We appreciate the extended stay with Babano. Yeah, I'm telling you, I think Yu Darvish has just been that good this year. But I know the Marlins have that special it factor going for them, but so did the White Sox, right? And what happened today with the White Sox? You know, so did the Cincinnati Reds, and what happened to the Reds? I get it. But, you know, Yu Darvish is the perfect guy to have going tomorrow. I believe for the Cubs. Hopefully he does better for the Cubs than he did for the Dodgers, though, I should say, in these big games. Although the Astros were cheating. The Astros move on now. get the winner of the White Sox and the Athletics. So NBA Finals, I know I see a lot of people talking about already hating on LeBron. And it's funny because anyone who's been listening to my show for the last 18 years knows I've been far from LeBron's biggest cheerleader over the years. But with that being stated, I find it's funny like how people like are just immediately like in denial about LeBron winning. I've had people tweet me, well, it doesn't matter. The Lakers bought this championship. And how do they buy it? Like, in what way? Like, how do the Lakers buy this any more than, like, any other team bought anything? Like, the Lakers didn't, like this whole thing about, oh, they're a star-laden team. They didn't earn it. This is easy for LeBron and all this type of crap. Like, really? Yeah, I don't recall, like, people lining up for Dwight Howard. I remember people laughing when the Lakers signed Danny Green and paid him big money. I don't recall like teams lining up for Rondo, Mr. Attitude that doesn't get along with anybody. Well, we'll go down the list. Yeah, like J.R. Smith was wanted, right? Like you go down the list, it's LeBron. I mean, LeBron and AD and the supporting cast, but you know, don't give me this crap. It's not it's not Miami. Miami, you can say that. Miami was ridiculous. You know what I mean? Miami was loaded. You had Ray Allen and Dwayne Wade, and they already won, and you bring in Bosch, and then you bring in LeBron. That was overkill. They did that to win. You know, I saw someone asking, too, how come AD's not being called out like Kevin Durant is for joining a winner? The Lakers weren't in the playoffs last year. The Lakers weren't in the freaking playoffs last year. AD didn't join a winner. AD joined a scrub team that wasn't even the playoffs last year. AD joined LeBron James and a bunch of scrubs. That's, you know, AD didn't join some powerhouse. And another thing is they traded for him. The only thing you can say is, yeah, AD, it was pretty sleazy the way it was done, the way he forced his hand out of New Orleans and then specifically to L.A. But if you know, the Pelicans held strong. And the Pelicans got a ton of players out of it. Like, the Lakers didn't even, like, sign free agents. They had to give up Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball. Like, you know what I mean? They gave up a ton of talent, like, to get that, to get Anthony Davis. So, like, and the Lakers haven't been given anything. If you hate LeBron, you hate LeBron, whatever. But, listen, I'm far from LeBron's biggest cheerleader, but LeBron James is a badass. Deal with it. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night. Thanks to the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, Ian Cameron, kicking it with us on the program here this evening. All right, so we got more baseball. It's not quite the baseball palooza that it was. You know, obviously with the 8 games, that was a one-off. It was also a record. We also had another record with the scoreless game between the Reds and the Braves. That was the longest scoreless game in postseason history. Yeah, I have a hard time calling this crap postseason. Next series is I'll call postseason. But nevertheless, the Reds, that was a heartbreaking loss. Braves were sending Anderson to the hill. The Reds have the pitching advantage here. That was a heartbreaking loss. The Reds had a ton of guys on base late in this baseball game and in extra innings, etc. I think they can get guys on early and score and settle down. I think the Reds win this baseball game. And they're underdogs as well at plus 120. I like I'll take the Reds here. I'll take a shot. We'll take a shot with the Reds. Today wasn't such a disaster in baseball in the same way it was yesterday. It still wasn't good. It's not good when I still lost money and I'm saying it wasn't as much of a disaster It's like, all right, we got murdered and massacred on Tuesday. Wednesday we lost, but yeah, we had some wins. And so we're turning this thing around. I think by the time we get to Friday, we can start winning. Thank God the NFL is back. I thought the NBA would be a great spot for us tonight, but I got a little sloppy in game, and the total hurt. But we are going to take the Cincinnati Reds in the morning with Luis Castillo on the hill. I think that the Chicago White Sox, they're all trendy and all this type of stuff. Well, as long as Oakland doesn't send a southpaw to the hill, we should be all right. Oakland's going to eliminate the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago Cubs extend the series. I'm leaning with the under. They don't have an overnight number because of the wind. But anyone to watch that game today, man, you had to smoke the ball to get it out of there. The wind was really blowing. I think the Cubs are going to win. Give me the Reds. Give me the A's. Give me the Cubs. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.